here's the thing that the Lord has been speaking to me for the past 3 weeks. And you know this, Janice, because we talked about it. God has been putting me on assignment, Kelvin, to encourage his people. Because some are approaching the end of this year with weariness and with this feeling of just trying to escape. Like, if I could just make it to 2024, it's going to be better. But the Lord would say to you, that's not how he wants you to end 2023. He wants you to end recognizing that you already have victory. And the things that you have not seen yet in this year are still part of the promise of God. And you will still see it. Some of you are going to see it in these next 6 days. Some of you are going to see it in 30 days. Some of you are going to see it in 90 days. And some of you are here prophetically are going to see the manifestation in March. And so the key is to stay in a place of faith because you have not been forgotten. Say, I've not been forgotten. Some of you think that you may have been forgotten by the Lord because you see other people seemingly moving in what you desire to move in or having the success you desire to have, and you look at yourself and feel like you're treading water and you're thinking, what about me? But you have not been forgotten. And things that you thought, and see, Val touched on it earlier when she was prophesying during the prayer time. Some of the things that you thought were over and that you had to put on the shelf that you've forgotten about it, God has not forgotten about it. He didn't forget what he told you. See, the thing is, in worship settings, we hear people say, well, if your neighbor's being blessed, then rejoice because you're next in line. Well, you should rejoice with your neighbor, but you don't have to rejoice because you're next in line. You're already at the front of the line. God is so powerful, he don't bless people one at a time. He can bless more people. He can bless everybody at the same time. God is not a man where he got to say, okay, you come, you come, you come. Like it's the Secretary of State, like you got to take a number for them to call you. When I go renew my tags, I got to take a number and I got to wait. And I look at the number I'm on and look at the number on the screen and I'm like, sheesh, I should have brought my computer. I'm going to be here for 40 minutes. It don't even look like that many people in the building. But with God, you don't have to take a number. It is impossible for God to forget you. And when we think about Christmas, we have to think about the perfect timing of God, the divine timing of God, the kairos moments of God that were in motion before the world was framed. There are plans in motion for you that was set in motion before the world was framed, and you may think you're forgotten, but you're actually operating in the divine kairos of God. Glory to God. Let me show you this because people would tell you, but the Bible says you have to remind God. And in our human minds, we think because we have to remind God that he must have forgot something. But God is not a human. He's the creator of humans. I'll say that again for myself. God is not a human. He is the creator of humans. See, the human brain has the capacity to hold so much, and a human brain has long-term and short-term memory, and when you learn something new, it tries to fuse new learning with old learning to see how it fits and compartmentalizes. God is infinite. The mind of God, he doesn't have to compartmentalize. He doesn't have to take old learning with new learning because he knows it all already. He doesn't have to learn a thing. He just does it. There is nothing new that can be discovered with God except for himself. And we have to discover him. There's nothing new to learn because God is the teacher of all knowledge and the revealer of all knowledge. So how can a God like that forget you? How can a God like that forget anything? But see, sometimes we think that God forgets because we read this scripture about where he says, put me in remembrance. So let's just go there really quick. Let me find it because I'm all over the place in my notes. Thank you, Lord. So in Isaiah 43, verse 22, Isaiah chapter 43, verse 22. We're going to look at that really quick, because you can search, you can Google the word remember. You can get on the Bible software and Google remember, and it'll say, well, all these times God's saying he remembered his covenant with Noah, or God remembered Abraham. So in our minds, we think if God had to remember, then he must have forgot. But that's not what that's saying. See, it's a lower level of operating with God to think he will forget you. And lower level of operating would say, Jesus, please don't pass me by. See, the man in the tree had to yell that to Jesus, because one, he wasn't in relationship with him, and two, Jesus was walking in flesh. So he was like, look, don't pass me by physically. And people take that scripture and they make songs out of it and they sing it and they allow it to become a part of their soul and they think God can pass them by. They be like, stay here, Jesus. I don't want you to go. I understand the sentiment, but Jesus doesn't go. He doesn't leave. He always stays. And everywhere you are is where he is. Because David said he could go to hell and God would still be there. So in Isaiah 43, 22, it says this. Yet you have not called on me, O Jacob, but you have become weary of me, O Israel. You have not brought to me the sheep of your burnt offerings, nor have you honored me with your sacrifices. I have not burdened you with offerings, nor weary you with incense. You have bought me not sweet cane with money, nor have you filled me with the fat of your sacrifices. So he's saying to the nation of Israel at that time, to the people of God, that they were not doing the sacrifices according to what was outlined in the covenant at that time. And then he said this, rather you have burdened me with your sins, you have wearied me with your iniquities. So he said, instead of honoring the covenant, you've been offering up sin and iniquity versus the type of offerings that were required at that time. And then he says, I am the one who wipes out your transgression for my own sake. I mean, that's a shout right there. The Lord removes our sins not because of us, but because of his own sake. It is nothing we can do to make God love us anymore and to cause him to remove our sin. He did it for his own sake. He sent Jesus for his own sake. And then it says, and I will not remember your sins. This is the only thing biblically that God forgets. So the thing that you did and the stuff that I did when I was 16, 15, that stuff that I might remember, God is like, what you talking about, Jamal? Y'all remember that show? What you talking about, Willis? He's like, what you talking about, Jamal? Because once you repented of that thing, which means you not only apologize, but you changed the behavior, he took it away, and it's like it got Thanos snapped. It got destroyed. It's gone. And he doesn't remember it anymore. This is the only thing that God will forget is sin, and it's because of the blood of Jesus. Now, verse 26, when he says, put me in remembrance, let us argue our case together, or the King James says, reason together, state your cause that you may be proved right. That word remembrance in the Hebrew is talking about to mark, to be recognized. So you mark something to be recognized. So when it talks about God remembering Noah, it's like, look, I'm recognizing Noah in light of my covenant. And then it says to mention. It refers to mentioning something, being mindful of something. It also refers make to be remembered, but it also means this, think on. So when it says God remembered Abraham, He was like, he thought on Abraham, but it's in light of his relationship and his covenant. So when God was telling them, put me in remembrance, he's like, look, let's think on this covenant and think on the relationship that we have. Think about where the stuff you, where you were or where you are, and think on where you can be when you get into alignment. But he didn't say he forgot a thing. He's saying, let's think on a thing. You guys get it? Because when you recognize that God doesn't forget anything but sin, you can recognize he didn't forget you. Regardless of who's being used powerfully, he still has his mind on you. Now let's look at that in light of the divine kairos of God. In Romans chapter 5, verse 6. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. Because when you leave here today, or when you log off if you're watching online, I want you to leave not only encouraged, but I want you to leave in a place of faith, knowing that God has not and cannot ever forget you. And that the things he said, he's going to perform, and not going to perform, because we hear people say that in church all the time, but he is performing. It just may look differently than what you think, and you might not see the part that's being performed right now. That's what happened with Joseph. He was forgotten by a man. He was using his gifts in jail. He was leading the prisoners in jail when he didn't want to be. But see, look at the divine timing of God. God gives him a dream. He shares it. His brothers get mad. God gives him another dream. He shares it. They get madder. They throw him in the pit and was going to kill him. But one of the brothers say, no, this don't kill him. Say sovereignty of God. So though they don't kill him, but they sell him into slavery. So now he's a slave. He's there when he doesn't want to be. And as a slave, he's still using this gift and being faithful. It says God is with him. He gets promoted as a slave. And now he's running his slave owner, Potiphar's whole household. And then Potiphar's wife tries to, you know, push up on him, and he rejects her. Now, all this time, Potiphar's wife had been trying to push up on him. This one day, she gets extremely aggressive and tries to pull his clothes off as he's running, actually pulls his clothes off as he's running from her. And then she falsely accuses him, and he gets put in jail. But look at the timing. He got falsely accused. He got put in jail to be in there at the exact time that the cupbearer and the baker were there. And he's there with a gift of interpreting dreams, and now they're dreaming, and he's giving interpretation. And he tells the cupbearer, he was like, look, when you get restored, remember me. But then the scripture says he forgot Joseph. See, sometimes you can be in a position that you don't want to be in, even though you're walking out the promises of God. And sometimes that position you don't want to be in is a result of the promise of God. The scripture talks about how with persecution comes the things that God gives us. In another place, and we read this Wednesday, we have to bear fruit with perseverance. So we get this word, and now he's in a position he didn't want to be, and it seems like he forgot. And the Bible says he was by the cupbearer, but not by God. And then the next chapter says 2 years go by. What was Joseph doing in those 2 years? The scripture doesn't indicate, but we can know, we could surmise from the scripture that he was continuing to be faithful, leading the jail, and using his gift. But it seemed like nothing was happening because we don't read that part. See, sometimes you could be faithful, you can be doing good, you can be doing a thing, and nobody hears about it. You can be like, look, they're not promoting me. They're not acknowledging me. They ain't doing this. And they forgot me. They don't value my gift. I'm going to quit. I'm going to go find another job. Or all of that stuff. But you there doing what you're supposed to do, and then at the right moment, the Pharaoh has a dream that nobody can interpret, and then the cupbearer says, oops, there is a guy, I forgot, his name is Joseph. Now, what if Joseph would have been in jail later? He would have missed the cupbearer. And more, and flipping it, making it not about Joseph, the cupbearer would have missed him. And then Pharaoh would have missed Joseph. Egypt would not have known of what to do during a time of plenty or famine. Israel wouldn't have survived. There wouldn't be an Israel today if it wasn't for Joseph, with Joseph's obedience. Say divine timing. So those 2 years, it seemed like he forgot, but it was the divine timing of God to recognize at this exact moment, I'm going to give Pharaoh this dream. Them folks ain't going to get it because they're not in covenant. And then now we're going to call, you're going to be called on to not only interpret, but release the prophetic strategy. See, some of y'all quit too soon. You quitting because you think they forgot. You quitting because you haven't been acknowledged. You quitting because you think you are underappreciated. Yeah, they may have forgotten, but God is watching you. He's like, just keep biding your time. Keep being faithful. Keep using your gift. Because at the Kairos divine moment, it's going to be like, whoop, there it is. I'm sorry. Some of these 90s songs are like in my brain. But see, it was divine timing, and God did it with Jesus. Did you know that the plan of God was in motion before Adam? Revelation 13 and 8 says this. I hope y'all tracking with me. It says that, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life, of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, that's talking about the beast and the Antichrist and all that deep stuff that we can teach and talk about later. But the key thing in Revelation 13, 8, it says this, the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. So, and that was from the King James. And so, before the world was framed, Jesus had already been slain in the realm of the Spirit. And while he was walking with, y'all got to see this. This is deep. Turn to Matthew chapter 1. This is real deep. Because a lot of times we read past the genealogy of Jesus just to get to the good part when we study in scripture. But let me tell you, all of that's the good part. Because I've done it myself. I've been like, okay, let me skip down to where they start talking, till they stop talking about the son of who, 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 son of who. I can't pronounce all them names, so I'd be like, son of who, son of who, son of who, who's this dude? I don't know. Well, however you say his name. And so, but the thing is this, he was slain before the foundation of the world, and then Romans says at the due time, and some translations say the proper time, Christ died for the ungodly. But he was slain before, he was slain before the world was created, but then there was a due time, a proper time, a kairos time for him to be slain in the earth. So while he was a friend of God to Abraham, while he was walking with Isaac, while he was walking with Jacob and changed his name to Israel to help Jacob work out his stuff, that was part of the plan for Jesus to be born in the earth. Because it says this, Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. It says, the record of the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So when God appears to Abraham and said, get from your father's house to a place I'm going to show you, it's part of the execution of the divine plan of God that was already in motion. And while he was walking with Abraham, calling him friend, he was thinking about, in this lineage, I'm going to come as a baby. While, that's why Abraham and Hagar's daughter Ishmael wasn't the son of promise. He said, yeah, Abraham, I'm going to bless Ishmael. They're going to become a great nation. He said, but Sarah is going to be the one that bears the son and carries the promise. Why? Because they needed to be together for the lineage of Jesus. Isn't God's plan so perfect? Now, could it be that God was looking at generations back in your family and was like, look, I need her to connect with him and him to connect with her. I need them to get together. Some kind of way they got to go to college together, or they got to live in the same city. They got to go to the same high school. They got to go to the same something. They need to work together and flirt, or something needs to happen because I need Coco to be in the earth. Before I can knit Coco in his mother's womb, I got to get his mama and his daddy to connect. And he got to know what to say to make her smile. Let me help a brother out. Because then it traces the genealogy of Jesus all the way back to Abraham. And then when you read it, it talks about the genealogy of how Jesus got here to not only fulfill prophecy, but to fulfill the plan of God. That's what was revealed by prophecy. So then it goes down to verse 17 after it names all the folks. It says, so all the generations from Abraham to David were 14 generations. Then it says, from David to the deportation to Babylon was 14 generations. And from the deportation of Babylon to the Messiah, 14 generations. Now, can you tell me what kind of happenstance or coink-a-dink can make 14 generations happen in between each of those things? Or things. I am intelligent. When you see that, 14 generations to this, 14 generations to that, 14 generations now to the Messiah, it shows and reveals that there is an ultimate, powerful, perfect plan that's already in motion. And the plan of God with Jesus is all about us. Because he didn't have to come. He was already free of sin. He's already holy. He will always be holy. So this plan was in motion for mankind. And it's perfect because there's Kairos moments, because in order for Jesus to be slain and die at in due time, like Romans says, he had to be born at the right time. For him to be crucified on that day, for him to give up the ghost, for him to sprinkle his blood on the mercy seat, for the veil to be torn, for him to go to hell in our stead, and for him to take the keys to death, hell, and the grave, before he could do all that, he had to be born at the right time. And which means, let me show you this, and I'm going to end it. Which means Mary had to be born at the right time. Joseph had to be born at the right time. Say the Kairos of God. Now, look at Luke chapter 1. There's so much more we could go over in Matthew, but for the sake of time, we won't do that today. But look at Luke chapter 1. Because when we see the intricacies of how perfect and flawless God's plan is, we recognize, wait a minute, I'm a part of his plan. And it's not just a cliche that God has a plan for your life. When people say that to you when you don't want to hear it, it's a reality that God does have a plan, and it's perfect, it's flawless, and everything that could be considered was already considered before the plan was even made, and all I have to do is walk with him and talk with him and follow his voice. It says, Luke chapter 1, verse 26 says this, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth. Now check this out. The angel Gabriel, now this is one of the few angels whose names is mentioned in the Bible, who everybody liked to lie on. Every religion will say that they had a visitation from Gabriel just because his name was mentioned. But Gabriel came from God to the city of Nazareth. Do you know that there are angels that come from God to where we are? There have been angels sent from God to the city of Hamilton. There have been angels sent from God to the city of Cincinnati. There have been angels that were sent from God who came when he knit you in your mama's womb. That's why God was knitting. Angels were sent, and they were right there. This is why you could not have been aborted. This is why the complications of pregnancy couldn't take you out. Because there was a heavenly escort sent to the earth with you to fulfill purposes and destiny. And then it says, it was sent from God to a city called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David. Look at the time, you see the working of God with that. It says, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. And she was very perplexed at this statement. Notice she wasn't confused about seeing the angel. Because that's normal. She didn't get perplexed at the angel. She got perplexed at his statement. Like, what do you mean? Favored one. The Lord is with me. What do you mean by that? She probably was thinking, who, me? Because you know the historical data says she was really young at this time. And there were a lot of other women who were bearing children or also were virgins that could have been chosen. But God chose her. Just like there were a lot of people who could have been chosen to do what God called you to do, but he chose you. And then it says this, she kept pondering, what kind of salutation is this? It says, the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. It says, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Mary said to the angel, verse 34, how can this be since I'm a virgin? How is this going to happen? The angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. For that reason, the Holy Child will be called the Son of God. Now, this is one of the very few times where God explains exactly what he's going to do to the person who needs to walk in faith. There are times where God would tell you what to do, but he don't give you all the details. And there are other times where he'll tell you exactly what he's going to do. And so he told Mary exactly how it's going to happen. See, a lot of people have tried to discredit the birth of Jesus and say, oh, it was one of the priests who got Mary and they didn't want to say it and it was a big cover-up. That was just a lie that's been purported to keep people away from understanding the significance of the birth of Christ. But we see how Mary got pregnant. It says Holy Spirit came upon her. And then at that moment, Jesus was placed in her womb. You also have to recognize the time period that this was happening. Because remember, the scripture talked about spirits who had left their appropriate sphere to procreate with women. So the enemy was trying to imitate what God had prophesied he was going to do. So, but we see the real thing happening here with Jesus. We see he entered Mary's womb when the Holy Spirit came, overshadowed her. And then Gabriel says this, and behold, your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. Now, as a sign and as confirmation, Elizabeth, who is your relative, who's been called barren, who is in old age, now is 6 months pregnant. See, could it be that Elizabeth, while she was called barren by men, she was fruitful but had to wait until the appointed time? Because she had to be the mother of John, who we know as John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus, who came in the spirit and power of Elijah. So could it be that what may seem to be not producing is actually producing, but you can't see the fruit from it because you gotta smack into the appointed time? And then Gabriel says this, nothing will be impossible with God. And then that's what Mary says, be it unto me according to your word. And then check this, she runs over to see Elizabeth. And the scripture says Elizabeth got filled with the Holy Spirit upon seeing her. Now, we already know prophetically that John was filled with Holy Spirit in the womb of Elizabeth. And now she gets filled from seeing Mary, who received the impartation and the seed of Jesus because she accepted the word that was spoken. Now, as I close this out, you have to remember the detail that God did when Jesus was born at the right time to the right woman with the right stepdad, if you want to call it that. So Elizabeth, part of this event, had to be pregnant at the right time. And her husband, so he didn't mess it up, he couldn't talk until John was born. God is so strategic and detailed about his plan. And if he, in the scripture says, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because God uses time, but he lives outside of time. So God has no beginning and no end. There was no yesterday for God, and there is no tomorrow with God. There's always the present with God because he exists outside of time. And as he is implementing his plan, you got to recognize it may seem like days and months to you, but to God it's like, they're tracking. I got this Kairos moment for them to run into for this thing to manifest in their life. But you just have to keep going. Say, keep going. You just have to keep going. You have to keep going in faith and recognize that you have not been overlooked. People may forget, people may overlook, but you are right in timing with God as long as you keep moving with him. That's why the scripture says stay in step with Holy Spirit, because if you stop, then you delay. But if you keep walking, you'll be right on time for your destination. That's why people say God's never late. He's always right on time. Hallelujah. He's on time because he owns time. He owns it. It belongs to him. So, you got some? Yeah, so as we close, go ahead and put the track on. As we close, remember, you've not been forgotten. Let this holiday remind you that you've not been forgotten. The things that you might have feel, that the disappointments you might have felt, shake that off. Because you haven't been forgotten. You haven't been overlooked. God doesn't have to be reminded of your name. Your name is already written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He sees your name every time he sees you. Every time he looks at Jesus, who's at his right hand, he sees you in Christ. Not just in Christ, but he sees you fulfilling purpose and destiny. And not just fulfilling purpose and destiny, he sees you right now. You can never be forgotten. Don't ever let yourself feel, I feel this strongly, don't ever let yourself feel like you've been forgotten or overlooked. Because sometimes the enemy will try to pull us into that place by our own ambition. But remember, the plan of God is perfect. The will of God is perfect. At the right time, everything God did to get you here, you think he gonna do all of that to leave you hanging? To say, nope, I'm not gonna use him anymore. Nope, nope, change my mind. God doesn't change his mind about you. Hallelujah.